Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to church tonight. Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited for tonight's message. You know, I'm always excited. I know I always say that. I still get excited for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and I don't just get excited because I'm the pastor. I get excited because I know the word. Amen. I love, when was it? Just within the last few days, I was just, you know, I was just getting into the word and getting some revelation and some things, and I just got stirred and excited. I was like, Lord, you're talking to me again. Praise the Lord. He just wants to talk to us. He wants to pour out on us. Amen. He wants to give us direction so that we can walk in everything that he has for us. Glory to God. And tonight's message is so important to the body of Christ. It's so important to us individually and walking out the plan of God. You know, we stand on Jeremiah 29:11 around here. It's one of the scriptures that we like to stand on. But, you know, how many know that it's just so important to get the will and direction of God, amen, in our lives? Without that, we have nothing, amen? But on the other side of that, with it, we have everything. Praise the Lord. And I'm just so thankful for what God has done in my life. You know, last night we were at a birthday party for our pastor, Pastor Tim Stallman, up in Jamestown. And glory to God, I had to prepare a speech. And as I was preparing, you know, I thought about what's happened. My wife and I walked into church around over 13 years ago, praise God. And I just thought about what a transformation and what a change has been in my life over those years, you know. And sometimes day to day, you don't necessarily see it. Sometimes month to month, it don't feel like you see it. But man, when you look back and you start seeing all that God has done, when you get faithful to the word, oh, it's just so wonderful. Praise the Lord. And of course, it just makes you want to serve him more and harder. Amen. And just do all that you can do for him. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called Finding Your Place in the Plan. Amen. You know, there was a time when we were first when we were first getting faithful to Family Church. There was a time where there was almost an air of competition in the church. Amen. We were competing against other Christians, other couples to grow in God and to like. To attain something, to walk out the plan of God, to get, you know, and several of us felt or sensed a call to our lives, amen, and the call into ministry specifically. You know, we're all called to something, but we felt a call to ministry specifically. And everybody was kind of in our youth as Christians, we were competing, as it were, for first place, amen. We wanted to get there first. We wanted to serve more. I mean, we would outdo each other in serving. We would try to, you know. And over the years, I've noticed that there seems to be, in just churches in general, there seems to be less of that. Amen. There was a certain fire, but there seems to be less of that competitive nature. Not from the standpoint I'm trying to make myself somebody. Amen. But from the standpoint of I want to get into what God has for us, and people were stirred and excited about it. You know, and I really believe that part of it, you know, is of course distraction. Actually, distraction is a major part of it. When the other day my wife and I were talking about distraction and why people seem so distracted, you know, and something came out of my spirit. Let's see if I can remember it, but something came out of my spirit that I believe applies. And what it is that people are so entertained by their natural lives, by things like social media and things like, we have these smartphones now. We didn't have smartphones then, even just that long ago. So, you know, people were so entertained by these things that they almost expect that everywhere they go, and everything they do. If it's not entertaining to them, then they pull away or they withdraw from it. And see, the things of God don't work as entertainment that you flip on the switch and you watch TV and you get entertained. The things of God are meant for people who are hungry and people who go after it. and people who dig it out. Amen. In other words, it's the difference between, you know, kids today, they have their smartphones and they watch their videos on TV. You know, and it's the difference between back when I was a kid and you didn't have a camcorder, but you would pretend you were making movies. Yeah. Amen. And it's that kind of difference in the body of Christ. We have to be very careful not to allow the world to, you know, these you know, technology is such a wonderful gift. These things that we can do are such wonderful, they're such a wonderful benefit to us, and they help us. But see, the thing is if we're not careful, we will get entertained right out of the will and plan of God. Because what we're doing is we're looking for that stimulation that God, and God doesn't bring it that way. You know, even as I was in my office just before service and was sitting there meditating on the word and thinking about what God does and stuff, you know, I find that God moves on me in dramatic ways less now maybe even than he did earlier on. And I have to believe, and I'm definitely more faithful than I was then. I have to believe that part of that is because God wants us to, you know, the Bible tells us he speaks in a still small voice. And God doesn't want us to have to be moved or pushed. He wants us to trust him and to follow him and learn how to communicate with him in such a way that when we follow him, it's just a knowing. You know your Heavenly Father and where he wants you to go and how he wants you to flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if we are distracted, if we have to be entertained, then we're going to lose out on some of the greatest things that God has for us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want you to turn to Matthew 9:37, but I don't want you to read it yet. We'll get there in a minute. I'm going to read a bunch of other scriptures for you, and we're going to end up in Matthew 9:37. So why don't you just go ahead and turn there? I'll turn there too. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. So we're finding your place in the plan. You know, God's plan has, there's a place for us to get to. There's something for us to see. There's things for us to see. There's things for us to carry out. There's things for us to do. But we have to understand that we won't get there unless we go there the right way. Amen? Now, the right way is not hard. It's not difficult. Like all of you, you made the first step tonight. Praise the Lord. You're in church on a Tuesday night. You got here, amen, and you come ready to receive the word. And that's the first step to finding your plan. We're going to see that here. So if you turn to Matthew 9:37, just wait there. I'm going to read some scriptures as we go. So just go ahead and look at them as they come up here. We're going to start in Jeremiah 29:11. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. We all know this scripture, right? Is there anyone who doesn't know it? Praise the Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I know what you're sitting there saying. Well, Pastor, you preach on this all the time. Yep. Because this is where we're going. Amen. We're going into the plan of God. And so if we're going to go into the plan of God, first we have to be sure that there is a plan of God. And just in case the week got on you, just in case work got on you, just in case your neighbor got on you, just in case your husband or your wife got on you, praise the Lord, I'm just here to remind you tonight that God's still got a plan. There's still a future and there's still hope in that plan. It's a good plan. Praise the Lord. There's thoughts of peace. God's thinking peace for you, not of evil. Praise the Lord. He's got a plan. Amen. Okay, now we're going to go to the second scripture that I have, because it's connected right to this. Praise the Lord, Jeremiah 3:15. Glory to God, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Yeah. So the first thing we see there in this message is that God has a plan. Yeah. He wants us to be in the plan. The plan is good. The plan is going to prosper us. The plan is going to increase us. It's going to give us peace and joy and all those things. Amen. The plan includes the fruits of the Spirit. But that second part of this sermon, what we see is that God is going to give us, he said he would give us shepherds according to his heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, this is what we have to know. Both of these scriptures were written far before Jesus came here. I don't know exactly how long before, but they were written long before Jesus came. Amen. And so so that plan wasn't fulfilled yet, was it? It wasn't fulfilled in the Old Testament, but God was telling his people what he wants to do for them, okay? And it's important that we understand these as connected. You know, we look at the Old Testament different than people that lived in the Old Testament. You know, yeah, the promises apply to us, amen, and what the good things that God said apply to us, but we have to filter the Old Testament through the light of the New Testament, most specifically the epistles, which is the the letters written to the churches, even more so than the four Gospels written about Jesus' life. Amen? The four Gospels are great. They're wonderful. They help us, but they are still Old Testament. Even though they're in the New Testament, they are still technically under the Old Covenant. And so the things, all those things, we have to filter through the light of the New Testament. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we see that God has a plan for us. That plan is good. Amen? The plan is to give us peace and to prosper us. Praise the Lord. And we can only assume that this is connected to it in that if he's going to give us shepherds that are going to feed us with knowledge and understanding, it's going to help us get into that plan. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now let's turn to the third scripture I have here. It's Matthew 9:36. Praise the Lord. I had you turn to Matthew 9:37. Don't read ahead yet. Praise God. We're just going to look here. But when he saw the multitudes, Jesus, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So we see this now that when Jesus was here, he was moved with compassion for the multitude of people that he saw. Because what didn't they have? They didn't have pastors. They didn't have a shepherd. Do you realize this? And I don't know enough about Old Testament history to be able to say this as a surety from my knowledge of Old Testament history. But I can say it from the standpoint of the scripture here that there wasn't shepherds. There wasn't pastors working with the people at that time. Amen. And they weren't feeding them because Jesus looked on the people and he was moved with compassion because they were scattered and faint as sheep not having the shepherd. They didn't have someone guiding them into that plan of God. Amen. Now there was different manifestations of God had prophets and, you know, things he used back in the Old Testament. I'm not saying that there, you know, there's rabbis and stuff like that, teachers of the law and stuff like that. But you know, the role of a shepherd is different. And when we see in the New Testament, we're going to see that here in a minute, when he gave gifts unto men, amen, when he gave us the ministry offices that are the ministry offices, the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, hallelujah, he gave us all those in the New Testament. That's when he gave those gifts. So those giftings weren't there in the Old Testament. Now, there were prophets in the Old Testament, but they weren't the same kind of prophets. And this is where people sometimes get screwed up because they look at the Old Testament prophets and they think New Testament prophets should be doing the same thing as the Old Testament prophets do. But it is a different operation a little bit. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we see these other giftings too. Glory to God. I hope I'm not leading you astray too much yet, but we're going somewhere with this. Amen? So we see that Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, when it says that he was moved with compassion, we understand the word moved means that he was going to be thrust into something. He was moving into something, amen? It did something to him, amen? Praise the Lord. It wasn't just, I have compassion on these people and I feel bad for them, so I'm going to go. No. What we saw in Jeremiah 3:15, that God was going to give us shepherds after his own heart. He was going to give us pastors after his own heart. We have to remember that that word shepherd and pastor are interchangeable. They're the same word. Amen. They mean the same thing. A pastor literally is a shepherd. That would help us greatly to understand that. It would help us greatly to understand, and this is why people that think that they can have church or they can have church at home without the church, without the local church, without a pastor, they're just sadly mistaken. This is also why people who think that anybody can be a pastor, sadly mistaken. It's not something that you can put upon yourself. It's something that the Lord has to place upon you. Amen? He has to give you the gifts. God gives the gifts as he sees fit. And he does these things for a purpose, and that's to lead us into, you know, just as a shepherd is with the sheep, the shepherd leads the sheep to the best places to eat, the best places to drink, the best places to be protected. Amen? That's what a pastor does. He leads as a congregation. You are sheep. Praise the Lord. I am also a sheep of my pastor or my shepherd. Amen. But what do we do? I stay close to him because as I stay close to the one that God's connected me with, then the plan of God in my life is sure and the plan of the devil is put at bay. But see, pushing away from it a little bit, people who start, you know, kind of going and doing their own thing, they're those sheep that are out there and the wolves are coming. The devil's looking for them, and he'll find them. He always does. In fact, one thing the devil is really, really good at is finding lost sheep. I've seen it time and time again. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. He may wait just long enough. See, because sometimes what the wolf does is the wolf knows that the shepherd can be close by. So what the wolf will do is he'll let that sheep get out there farther and farther and farther and farther. And then eventually, what happens? He's out too far. The sheep's out too far, and the wolf got it. Praise the Lord. Because the wolf is closer than the shepherd is at that point. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we understand these things. We understand that what God is doing here. Amen. So that was Matthew. Now let's turn to, we're going to see Ephesians 4:11. These are all scriptures I know that we've been over before, but they're good for setting up this message. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Amen. Verse 20. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay, I want to stop there for a second. For the equipping of the saints, you know what the saints are? They're not those idols that you see in Catholic churches, praise the Lord, not something we pray to. We don't have little saint bobbleheads on our car. That's not what they are, unless you have a bobblehead of yourself. Because you, my child, or my friend, are a child of God, you are a saint. Hallelujah. You are a saint. We are saints if we are have received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. The Bible calls us saints. I haven't done enough study about what that word saints means, and I don't need to right now, but we just need to understand that that's what we are. Amen. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Praise the Lord. Besides, if you just look at it from this standpoint, if you want to think of it this way, you know, the saints that people pray to and stuff like that, they don't have pastors, do they? Because they're dead and gone. They're somewhere. They're probably in heaven. We're assuming they're in heaven. After all, they're saints, right? They got to be in heaven. They're saints, praise the Lord. But so we understand that it's not talking about that here. This is referring to the people of God, amen? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, you know your pastor, praise the Lord. If you've been coming here for any length of time, you know your pastor because you come here on at least Sundays and Tuesdays usually, praise the Lord. Sometimes Fridays, sometimes other days, but you know your pastor, amen? You understand that, that I'm here and that I'm with you and you're with me, praise the Lord, and I preach the message. My wife preaches the message, praise the Lord, and you receive things. But what you sometimes people miss is what we're doing, amen? We're not just, we are preaching to people, we are trying to help people sort out their lives. That's one thing I do typically every Sunday morning. Services are meant to help people sort out their lives, amen? We're trying to get people to that place where they can start standing on their own faith. This is, you know, I've said this so much and this is why I say it, but churches that don't teach people how to use faith are a liability to the people, because we need faith in life, because life is more than just living. It's more than just abiding day in and day out, working your jobs, doing your things, but that's where most people's lives are spent. They're spent doing those things, and they don't realize that there's a bigger call for all of us. That is for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is the call of every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. Praise the Lord. We are all called to a pastor. We are all called to a church. We are all called to a ministry. And we are all called to something specifically in that ministry. Now, some churches are going to do different things. And that's not bad. Some churches are going to have this program and that program where they help this missionary or that missionary. Some focus on missions in general. I've seen this one pastor on YouTube who goes out and he's an apologist. It's a Christian apologist. They're not apologizing for Christianity, but what they do is they go out and they explain Christianity and stuff like that. But he goes out on the street and he talks to people on the street with a microphone and a speaker and stuff like that. And they go to abortion clinics and they talk to people, try to help people. They're out there in the street trying to convert people. That's not wrong. It's not what I'm called to do. But that's what it's what they're called to do. And so sometimes what we can see is that people get caught up thinking that because I'm called to do this, everybody else ought to be doing it. You know, in the family churches, we have similar calling. But even in the family churches, we'll have a different direction. Amen? And so because we're all called to different churches. If you've ever listened to Pastor Tim preach, he preaches very different than I do. If you ever hear Pastor Michael, you have heard Pastor Michael. He's very different than I am. If you go to Pastor Mike's church, it's the same thing in South Dayton or Olean. You're going to hear a different styling. They're going to hammer different things. They're going to the way they hammer them will be differently. Praise the Lord. And that's that. None of that is wrong. We're all called to where we're called to. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think of John and Liz as an example. You know, they drive from Jamestown. Well, there's a great family church, arguably a better family church. Well, not really, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it's my pastor's family church, so I got to love it. Amen. But there's a great one that's just 10, 15 minutes from their door. They don't have to drive all the way up to Mayville, but they're not called there. And see, it matters where you're called because you get fed where you're called. And see, this is a place where people often miss it, is they miss that they are called to be fed in a certain trough. And when they feed out of the wrong trough, they're getting the wrong nutrients. Amen. You know, I love my our dog. We take our dog to my mom's house, and the first thing she does is go to her dog's dog bowl. Well, you know, it's a different kind of food and stuff like that, and it's probably similar in the sense that they're probably eating a little dog food. Amen. But you know, when she was staying at my aunt's house, she ate all the cat's food. It's the way it is, right? It's food there, she's going to eat it. Amen. Well, how many know that the cat food isn't optimized for dogs? And if she lived on it, it might make her sick. Amen. Now, I don't know specifically if it would, but, you know, I don't see Cassie going out and eating cow food. Amen. You know, she does chew on grass a little bit, but if she ate nothing but grass, it'd make her sick. Why? She's not equipped for that. Amen. Well, it's the same thing. If we're eating out of the wrong field, if we're eating out of the wrong vineyard, if we're in the wrong place, we're going to be getting the wrong. That's why it's so important to know where we're called to be. It's also important to know that once you're called to be somewhere, God isn't just flip-flopping you, moving you around. God will sometimes move people around, but it's not going to be all the time. It's not going to be often. And there's always a purpose that's well understood. Praise the Lord. You know, and you got examples of that, but I don't want to get into that right now. But so we see that God has called us together for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, when somebody is edified, they're made better. It's like cleaning up the loose ends. It's like it's like tying. If you edified a garment, you just made it like you sealed it, so it was good to wear, keep out the wind and the rain and all those things. You know, that's what edifying is. And so the edifying of the body of Christ is very, very important. But notice again, it says, you know, we see in the scripture, we see saints, and then we see the body of Christ. The saints are the pieces of the body of Christ. And I know this stuff might seem basic, but I am building on something for us. I really needed us to see this. I think the Lord wanted us to see this, you know, piece by piece and see how it all ties together. Amen? And so we understand that the edifying or the sewing together of the body of Christ, in other words, to do what the body of Christ is supposed to do. This is the work of the ministry. And so when the Lord lays it on our hearts to do something, this is why it's important to trust where you're at. This is why it's important to know that you're at where you're called. Because when God calls God is like anyone else. Like, you don't tell, if I deal with a department in the church, praise the Lord, I go to the department leader and I tell them to deal with the issues or whatever. That's the way it's been. Now, we have a very small church, but if we had a much larger church, in other words, you know, the president doesn't go to each and every little, you know, place, American or whatever. He gives his orders out as they go out to the, you know, if you think about like war or something like that, he gives them to the generals, and the generals give it to the next one down, and then, you know, you lost me. I don't know any more past generals. But all the way down to the privates, amen? But the president doesn't deal with the privates, does he? And there's a reason for that, amen? Praise the Lord. Just as when we were sent out into under a certain mission, amen, as connected to Pastor Michael, the vision that Pastor Michael was given. And that's why this church, the Corey Church, the Jamestown Church, the Olean Church, the South Dayton Church, the Tonawanda Church, the Northeast Church, or the Ripley Church now, am I missing one? The Warren Church, yes, thank you. Wellsville Church. You know, all these churches are different, but they're all kind of called to the same place. And we get that direction through Pastor Michael. That's why that connection is important. But just as that is, You all, when you come to church, you get direction because God gives me specific direction for this body, what this body is supposed to do. And we work under that direction, but with the direction that God gives us as well. But that's why it's important to know where you're called, because if you don't know where you're called, if you don't understand it, that Jeremiah 29:11 plan can't come to pass. It can't. Because if you are called to a body, you're called to do what that body is supposed to do. So when we say, you know, we plant the Cory Church, some people got on board with that. Some of the people in the church didn't, but we were all called to. Some people at different levels, but we were all called to. We are all called to whatever God has called us to do. That's what we are to do. You know, and this is commendable and not commendable at the same time. We decided to have a Christmas float, or a Christmas float, a 4th of July float. I felt that it was the leading of God to do so this year, and so we did. Do you know that we had 40-some people stay after and decorate a float? We had gobs of people show up and participate, bring stuff for the float. You know, brings the candy and then even to walk down the street in the rain even to do it. That's great and wonderful. But you see how people can get excited about something in the natural that's natural, but the spiritual things people don't get on board with. Where were the group of those 40 people when anything else is going on? Because I'm just telling you, when you do anything in a church, this Christmas decorating, this stuff alone, this was hours of work that was done just by a handful of people. It wasn't 40 people here decorating. You know what I mean? And not that this is even an important thing, but I'm just saying that different things get different measure of importance in people's minds. But what we're called to, we're all called to. It's not just, and I'm not saying that if you didn't show up for the Christmas decorating, oh, shame on you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is getting excited about the things of God. People have different levels because to them, there's not the importance in all the things. Well, I don't really feel tied to that. See, and that's the first problem is because people, we have to learn that we're never taught to operate according to our feelings, but according to the plan and the purposes of God. And so if God has his, if the pastor stands there and says, this is what the Lord has laid on my heart to do, the whole body needs to rush towards it. That's how we're successful. We're not successful otherwise. Praise the Lord. So anyways, we'll go on to verse 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did I have 13 in there? I thought I did. Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, there it is. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We can't be in the fullness of Christ as a body until all the parts are connected. Praise the Lord. You know, there's some people that think that Tuesday night is not an important thing. And again, we don't have services just because we need something to do on Tuesday night. There's a lot of people that don't think that it's an important thing. Now, not everybody's called to come to Cory, you know, to be in those services. I don't want everybody here to feel that they have to do stuff like that. But seriously, there's people in our church that have been with us for years that still don't even come. They don't even come every week. They don't come, you know, they don't come. And it's not to look down on them and say, hey, what's wrong with you? It's saying there's people that haven't got body-minded yet. They're still self-motivated, self-minded. And this is what we have to understand is that God, our plan, Jeremiah 29:11, is completely and wholly, 100% connected to where God connects us. That's the plan. And the problem is people are looking for the plan everywhere else. They're looking at it outside of the realm of what God's doing. So there's a group of people here today. What can we do? I know that's what you're thinking. What can we do? Well, we can encourage our brothers and sisters. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When they start saying, I don't want to do this. No, listen, this is important that we do this. You know what I mean? Those of us who get it, we have to encourage the others. Praise the Lord. And some people won't listen, but that's the way it is. So now you found Matthew 9:37. Now we can all go there together. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:37. Praise God. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Listen, as you start dwindling things down, as you start working, you know, it's kind of like Pastor Michael always said about the Jamestown work. You know, if they were there for a year and a half in Jamestown with a handful of people, and it was just the people that came with them. A year and a half they came to Jamestown with just the people that came with them. in Corey, we don't have a whole lot of people from Corey yet. There would be a temptation in people sometimes to feel like, well, you know, what's not working? What's not going on? What are we doing wrong? Nothing. Sometimes there's just labor that you have to do before the harvest comes in. A farmer doesn't plant the corn or the seed of corn in the ground and go out there tomorrow and start getting all mad because it's not there. He doesn't come back in a month and say a word. He waits until the appropriate season has come and he knows he'll have a harvest. The same thing goes with us. If God's directed us, then we know we have a harvest. And this isn't about Corey. This is just about whatever God's called us to do. Amen? We're called to do it as a group. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Praise the Lord. I gotta keep moving because I got a lot of stuff that I want to get to tonight. You know, this in the next set of scriptures we're going to read, we're going to see this is something that was spoken in my spirit last night. And I had an idea that this was part, at least in part, the direction I was going to go according to the scripture. Philippians 2:19. Let's go ahead and turn there. There's our friends of Philippians again. Amen. Glory to God. Love Philippians. Praise the Lord. I'm flipping right past the Philippians. Got to find you, Philippians. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I forgot where it was. There we are. Hallelujah. I'm going to flip back to the Philippians. Philippians 2:19. Glory to God. So God is taking us in a direction. You know, if somebody were to listen to this from another church, they don't have to come to this church, but they should be getting connected to theirs. The plan and the purpose, and I'll say it this way, the plan of what God, we should be very much, if we're desiring that we walk in the plan of God for our lives, we have to first, and I hope I made that connection in the beginning there, going to those scriptures, that the plan of God is connected to the plan of where God has put us and to the plan that God gives us. We should be going to our pastor and saying, like, how do we get into this place? How do I get into this place? We need to desire those things. Amen. When the direction is there, we have to become hungry for it. We have to become hungry for it. You're going to see this hungry in a way, in such a way that it's yours, that you look at it as yours. This is what, because it is. It is. See, that's where people miss it, is they think, well, this is just another thing. And I know what the feeling's like when you're sitting there and you don't get the download. You don't get Jesus talking to you, or you don't get an angel appearing to you, or you don't get God laying it all out to you. But you have to trust where you're at. You know, and that's the other thing we have to look at. Do we trust where we're at? Well, look at what's happened where we're at. Has our lives changed where we're at as we've connected to the Word? Has God been doing things in our lives that are different? Well, if the answer to those is yes, then it's not hard to trust. See, one thing I learned about my pastor early on, one thing I learned about him is that I wasn't always going to agree with him. I learned that very early on. Wasn't always going to agree with him. But another thing I learned about him is I learned about following and watching the man of God or woman of God that God has placed in your lives. And one thing I've noticed is that even though on every little thing I don't agree with them, and I'm talking about more life stuff, kind of like, not word stuff, yeah, but more like little things. Like maybe, you know, I'm going to run my household this way, I'm going to run my household this way. Well, we do all do it according to the Word as God leads us, but it's not exactly the same. You know, my relationship with my wife is different than my pastor's relationship with his wife. I've spent a lot of time with them. I've seen it. I wouldn't want it in the sense that I don't want their lifestyle. I like our lifestyle and what we do, how we interact. But they're fully enjoying theirs. So you understand things like that. I don't always agree with those things. But one thing I do know is I've watched the fruit in his life from doing things that he's done. And I've watched him increase over the years in all areas of life, both material and spiritually. I've watched him increase and grow into the things of God. I've watched him increase in influence, amen? And all these things, you know, it's important for us to watch the right things and not get caught up on the things that we may have a hard time with that don't matter, amen? But look what Paul was telling the Philippians, and he's talking about Timothy here, amen? He goes to say, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. If you didn't know, Timothy was a pastor. He is who the first and second book of Timothy is written to from the Apostle Paul. Paul was encouraging him and trying to help him through some stuff, amen. But Timothy was he was a big-time pastor. He was a very faithful man, and he pastored, several churches, including the Ephesian church, praise the Lord. But it says here, "But I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." Now, it was that scripture right there that played over in my spirit. I have no one like-minded. No one like-minded, praise the Lord. That's very, very important to understand. Timothy, Paul was the apostle, okay? He was the sent one. He went around all the churches, but he helped start all these churches all over. He's the one that wrote all the letters to all the churches in the New Testament. Paul wrote them, right? And so he wrote all these letters to all these churches, helping them. But you know, he sent pastors. He put pastors in different towns. Amen. Timothy was one. Titus was one. So God was using Paul to do this. But look what he said. "I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." See, Paul was saying that there was basically what he was saying is the laborers are few. He was saying that Timothy is like-minded. He thinks the same way I do. He thinks about the plan of God. Now, we're not, again, you know, Paul might have liked blue and Timothy might have liked purple. That's not what we're talking about. You know what I mean? Paul might have liked his grass 3 inches long. Timothy might have liked it 4 inches long. That's not what we're talking about. You know, some people like their hair cut this way. Some people can't cut their hair at all because they don't have it. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking about personal preferences. We're talking about the plan of God. Timothy was like-minded in the plan of God. He said, "If it's the plan of God, I want it." Praise the Lord. And he recognized that his plan, that God... Now see, God will do things in our lives individually. And we're going to see that too. God will do things to us individually, but he is doing things individually as a collective. Yeah. Glory to God. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But so we see that Timothy was like-minded to Paul. That is incredibly important. That's why it's incredibly important that you have to get to the place where you trust where you're at. Because if you don't trust the person who's leading, you're not going to trust where they're going. And here's the other side of it. If you're constantly questioning where you're going, you're going to be in trouble and you're going to hinder the plan of God. Because it's like this. If you can imagine, okay, if you can imagine someone taking, ropes, having ropes tied to them, amen? And then off of that person, at each rope, there's other people tied to them. Now imagine we're all going the same direction, right? I'm walking down the street. We're all going in the same direction. It's real easy. Everybody walking. Now all of a sudden, one of these ropes, say there's 10 ropes tied behind a pastor or a person walking down the street. One of the people over here decide, you know what? I don't know if I like where we're going. I'm going to stop walking. So they sit down. Well, you know, there's still 10 people pulling. There's the one up front and then the other nine. But, you know, it's going to slow them down a little bit. But you know they can keep going. Amen. But now another person sees that one sit down and say, you know what, I don't think I like where we're going. And so that one sits down. Now there's two people sitting down. We're still going, but it's a little bit harder. Now a third person looks around and says, you know, those two are, you know, they've been talking back and forth and they got somebody else to join their cause. You ever had that happen in a church? You ever hear somebody else? I'm going to tell you right now, when people start talking bad about the place where you're getting your help from, you better start watching out. And you got to consider that. Well, you got to consider what they're doing. They have become a cancer to the body of Christ. And people do this all the time. And the reason they do this is because they're people that don't follow God. They follow the leading of the devil. And it's not that they're bad, horrible, evil people, but they're doing bad, horrible things. And so they start talking. And so now another person sits down. Now you got three people sitting down. Now that weight's getting harder to pull, isn't it? What happens if three-quarters of the people sit down? Yeah, now you're not moving. You're moving very slowly. And it's very laborsome. It takes a lot to push through it, amen. It takes a lot to keep going and to get into all that God wants you to do, amen. You're not gonna get there as easily. Why? Because people are becoming weights instead of helping with the plan. Now, you know, my pastor uses this example all the time and I love it. But you know, the Canadian geese, when they're going, you know, and I guess there's been studies done, I don't know this for sure, but it sounded good in theory, so it works. We'll use it as an example. So Canadian geese, and you see them flying, they're what are they doing? They got one up front, and then they got the other ones behind. The one up front is leading the what do they call a group of geese? Gaggle? I don't know what it is. Google it, yeah. It's a bunch of geese, amen? They got a bunch of geese flying in the same direction. One is leading, you know, but in that one, apparently it's been proven that that one is cutting the wind resistance and making the other ones fly easier. Yeah. And that's the same kind of thing for a church. The pastor is moving forward into the plan of God, taking people with him, and what they're doing is he's hitting it first, amen? And so that resistance is less on the people back here. But every once in a while, now this doesn't happen in church, you know, the another goose will swap out, amen, and will take the brunt of that. But what are the other geese doing at the time, other gooses doing? They're wah, 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 wah. You ever heard them come over? That was maybe more ducks or something, but they make noises, you know, kind of like a duck, but different, more like a goose. And so they're flying, and they're honking as they go, you know, and they fly. You always know they're coming because you can hear them. And it's been said that that is a kind of an encouragement to keep going, to keep pushing through. Amen. But you can think of this just from a natural standpoint. If you got a race, if you got somebody a team, and somebody's running a race, whatever one person would run, and the rest of the team is standing there, what is the rest of the team usually doing? They're encouraging them. They're rooting them on. They're saying, come on, you know, they're clapping, they're yelling, they're doing the same thing. Well, the same thing is in a church. You know, when there's a plan of God and we're running after it, we need to all be running after it, and people need to be on board with it, not saying, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, this message doesn't come out because people are necessarily in this church aren't on board. This is to take us all higher, though, to understand what we're doing, amen? Because, again, see, in Jeremiah 29:11, the plan is connected to what God has called. But the peace and the not of evil, that's for us individually. So the peace of God is found in the plan of God, which is much bigger than all of us. But see, when people are focused on themselves, their own peace, and that's all they want, then what happens is that they miss all of that, and they miss the peace too. And see, so God is trying to call us together to encourage us. Amen. I got to get moving here. Glory. Holy cow. Praise the Lord. Sacre vache. That's French for holy cow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So verse 20. For I have no one, so he's like-minded. We need to be like-minded. All that to say that. We need to be like-minded. Amen? For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Look, at Paul said that the things that he was doing are of Christ. Those are the things of Christ Jesus. The things that this church, that God is leading us to do, those are of Christ. Those are Jeff's ideas. Those aren't Pastor Renee's ideas. Those aren't Pastor Michael's ideas. They're Christ's ideas. He's given the direction to the churches. You know this, I didn't go down to Corey and say, hey, I want to start a church here. This is my idea. I want to start a church. It's a great town to start a church in. I'm going to tell you the truth. If I was going to start a church today, I might think of some place like Honolulu. I might think of some place like San Diego. That was nice. I'd start a church in San Diego. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Warm weather all the time. Ocean there. Sea lions like them. Praise the Lord. Ain't got no sea lions here. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't do it in Corey, Pennsylvania. I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to know something? Corey was on YouTube. There was a YouTube video, the 10 worst towns in Pennsylvania. Corey was on that list. I was like, are you kidding me? But guess what? God's got a plan there. He's got a plan there. And if nobody will labor for that plan won't happen. But see, that plan isn't just what Mayville's called to do. But that's just a great example that we have before us that I can use. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, God's got a plan there. I don't care if the internet calls it one of the 10 worst towns. Praise the Lord. You wait until Jesus gets infected in that town. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Infused in that town. You know, I read that scripture. I want to read it to you real quick. I've been meditating on it today, so I'm just going to go back to it. This is what we're doing there. I want to show you this real quick. kind of thought maybe I'd go there. Just stay where you're at, but I'll pull this up. You don't even have to pull it up there, but this is a scripture that means a lot to me. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always, always leads us in triumph. If you ain't triumphing, it's because you ain't being led. You ain't following God, because God calls us always to. You know where? In the plan. He calls it in the plan, amen? And through us, look at this, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That's what we're doing in Corey. We're diffusing the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God there, or anywhere else we go. Praise the Lord. When you talk to somebody on the street, you're diffusing that knowledge every place we go. That's what the equipping of the for the work of the ministry is. That's what we're doing here, amen? Okay, regular scheduled programming. Verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son, talking about Timothy, as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to keep reading. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. Praise the Lord. But your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. So he's your messenger. You understand this, that the term pastor sometimes is also interchanged with the word messenger, which is also, we see this in the book of Revelation. You know, the letters are sent, or the scrolls are sent to the messengers of the churches. Some people translate that angels, because there can be a translation which is angel, but angels do not give, they don't give doctrine in churches. Angels never teach doctrine. That is up to man. And so we know that to be also the pastor. See, there's a lot to interpreting those kinds of words and stuff like that, but we understand that. And so we understand that about messenger. We are messengers. I am a messenger sent to Mayville. My wife is a messenger sent to Mayville, and now Corey. Praise the Lord. So we're sent to the people here and to proclaim the things of God. Amen? Glory to God. But your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. This was a man of God and he was sick. What's this all about? For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice, that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in high esteem, because for the work of the Lord, work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his own life. This is something that is very important and very heavy, and we need to understand this. To supply what was lacking in your service to me. The people, the Philippian church, he was rebuking them because they weren't doing the things they were supposed to do. They weren't getting on board with the offering. They weren't helping financially. They weren't helping do the things, the work of the ministry. And what happened? Epaphroditus was all in. He said, I'm doing it, so I'll do whatever I... He worked himself almost to death trying to make up for the lack of the rest of the church. That happens every single day in the body of Christ. In fact, today in the body of Christ, people are probably at an all-time low in faithfulness to the plan of God, to the church of God, to what God's doing. Just distracted. And most of it is for worthless things. They're distracted for worthless things. Like this over here, or this over here. Things that they will answer. I mean, literally, think about it. You're standing before Jesus. And he's saying, I gave you my blood. I gave you all this stuff to do. I gave you, and God's saying, I gave you my son. You know what I mean? And you're standing there, and he said, what did you do with it? I said, well, I was wrapped up in sporting events. Well, you know, the kids were really busy with sporting events. Do you think that's going to fly in the face of Jesus? Well, see, this is the problem. People don't think that they're going to answer for it, because they don't truly believe what the word is being preached. They don't truly believe that these things are spiritual. They're looking for a fix to their problem, but they don't really care about the plan of God. They don't really care. That's when you see somebody who leaves a place where they thought that they were called for frivolous reasons, it proves how selfish they are, because they're only in it for them. People are in church all the time for them. They could care less about you. Oh, they might smile at you, and they might help you out, and they might even be part of it for a little while. But then sooner or later, they're out there in the world doing their own thing because they got what they needed, or they weren't getting what they wanted, or they weren't liking what they were hearing, or whatever else. This happens all the time, constantly. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. All the time. It's sad. It is so sad, because every single one of those, I have had people in this church where God has let me see. And he gave me, so what does he keep pointing at? There's nobody sitting back there except for Bob. He's by himself. Praise the Lord. He's back there guarding that Bob button. Hallelujah. I'm pointing at the scripture on the back of the wall, which is Jeremiah 29:11. All the time. They're sitting back there. Or they're sitting there, they're not focused on the plan of God. They don't care less about the plan of God. They just want what they want. They're like, as Pastor Tim calls it, they're drains. You know, when you take a drain in a tub, a kid's been playing in the tub, all the toys and stuff, and you take out the water, what happens? Everything goes to the drain. It just sucks everything into it. And that's what so many people are. Now, we have a choice in this. We can decide to do this or not. But I'm going to tell you something. This happens even in faithful people, because faithful people will get distracted by things that don't matter. This happens all the time. I've been there. Sometimes I was there this summer. I think I'm faithful. I mean, as far as I know, before the Lord, I don't need you to tell me I'm faithful, because you're not the one who's going to be judging me at the end. Jesus is going to. So you can say, hey, Pastor Jeff, you're doing a great job, but it doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what he thinks. Amen? And it's not that I don't, you know, praise the Lord that you, if you like me, glory to God, I'm thankful you do. But honestly, I'm not here for you to like me. I like that you like me. It makes us easier when you like me, but I don't care that you like me, because it only matters that Jesus likes me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What was I saying? Oh yeah, the summer I was distracted by things. I get project minded real easy, and so I had the windows going on out here, and I started I'm gonna save a few bucks if I can help out this and do that, and I started laying down the things that were weightier. It wasn't like I started sinning or something like that, but I'm gonna tell you, I paid for it. I paid for it spiritually. I paid for it in my flesh. Because God will still, to a degree, a person, a pastor who isn't perfect, God will still allow his grace and will allow the office to carry him or her, amen, even when times when they're not being perfect. But, now if they go on for a long time, that will dissipate and he'll have to remove them. That does happen. But it's not preferable to do that. It's preferable to stay in the direction of God. But we have to ask ourselves, you guys are, it could be argued that you're the most faithful in the church. But you have to ask yourselves, do I get distracted by something that's pulling me away from what I'm called to do? That's so important for us to realize, because if we don't realize that, then we get wrapped up in things that don't matter, and we get pulled away from what God is truly trying to do for us. I have this temptation all the time as far as business goes. I am convinced. I'm not saying that this is a law or a rule, but I am convinced that a person who is truly called into pastoring or ministry can do no other thing. As far as I would love to start businesses. I have business ideas all the time, ventures, probably things that would make great money. I've made lots of money doing things like this before, different ideas and stuff, but I know that I can't do it, because if I do it, the instant I start doing it, I start getting distracted and called into those things, and then it's like, oh, money, 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 money is over here, but no, the plan of God. What would you sacrifice for the plan of God? What if, now the plan of God will never make us poor, but what if the plan of God did? Would you sacrifice for it then? What if you truly had to give up everything that ever meant anything to you for the plan of God? Would you do it then? Praise the Lord. We have to ask ourselves these things, because these are the things that matter. I hope that would be the case for me. Praise the Lord. I believe it would be, because we prove it time and time again. If we have to give up something for the plan of God, we typically do at least eventually get on board with it. Amen? as far as we know, amen? So we see there that the Philippian church, gosh, the Philippian church, I'm just looking at how it's ticking, but I don't want to do this in two sermons. I don't think I have to. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll have to. Praise the Lord. But let's turn to Luke. Look at it up here. Luke 16:12. Look what it says here. If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Praise the Lord. This is important. Your gifts and your callings are discovered in serving somewhere or someone else. Whatever God has called you to, Jeremiah 29:11, it is discovered serving someone else, somewhere else. It is discovered in something that has nothing to do. In fact, what I've learned is that you have to give up all of what you want if you truly want to be immersed in it. All of it. You have to say, that is my, because this is the goal, this is where I'm at, this is where God has me. That's what the plan of God is. That's what it is. Now, you know, I'm not talking about things. I'm not saying you have to leave your spouse. Yeah, I mean, glory to God. I'm not saying that you have to, that you have to sell all your things. And that's not what I'm talking about. But, you know, one thing that the Lord did speak to me, I believe I was praying the other about a week ago, and in my spirit I kept hearing this, lighten the load, lighten the load. Was that what I heard? Lighten the load, lighten up. And what it was referring to, what I knew it was referring to, is don't have so many things that bind you down. Do you know, there's been times my wife and I, it was a dream of mine to have a house with property. But, you know, there's even been times this year where I thought, you know what? Maybe I just need to have a condo somewhere where I pay for everything to be maintained. No, seriously. So it doesn't distract me. So there isn't. I mean, we have this property. We have 8.5 acres, I think, we got, and we never thought we would have that, but praise the Lord for it. But, you know, I think I was on it twice this summer, on the actual property. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, if this isn't something that is for me, and I put it before the Lord, Lord, if it's not something that's for me, I'll give it up. Because it doesn't matter. Like, is this something that pulls my finances, that pulls my attention, that pulls my desire away from you, away from the plan of God? We have to consider these things. Now, I know this is a little bit heavier. That's why I probably wouldn't preach this on a Sunday morning. But we can handle this. Because this is... Now, listen, this isn't sad, and this isn't to make us sad. It is sobering, but it shouldn't make us sad, because the plan of God is fullness of joy. You will experience 100-fold fruit in the fullness of the plan of God. You will experience things, you will see things that you never did. Twice this year, I got to go to California. Twice this year. Now, it was both for services. One was to serve and to help out, and the other, but I was in services all the time. And the other one, I was actually at a meeting. I never in my life thought that I would be able to travel. Since I've been following the plan of God, not even since I was pastoring, even before I was pastoring, I've been to Rio de Janeiro. Never thought I'd go to Brazil. But the plan of God took me there. See, the plan of God will take you places and do things that you never could have done or never on your own. And I know that there's more in the future. Praise the Lord. I don't know what it is. And don't get jealous if you want to go. Don't get jealous, because here's the thing. You have a plan too. And in your plan, there's things that will bless you. You know, see, this is the thing. Just being in a different country, even though I didn't get to go explore, but just the fact that I can say that I was in Rio de Janeiro was like I saw Ipanema Beach. Remember the old song, the woman from Ipanema? Yeah, way back. This is even before my time. But you know, I saw that Copacabana Beach. I saw it. You know, the Jesus statue, the one, the famous. I was stood right underneath it, touched it. Praise the Lord, I was there. God. I mean, I got to see a few things, but I mean, just to be able to say I was there, that was just awesome in my mind. See, God will do what blesses you. But see, what happens is if we're chasing what blesses us, then we will only obtain a little of it. But when we follow the plan of God, everything that blesses us sticks to us. It just comes after you. Like all of a sudden, I desired to be before great men and great women of God. It was huge to me. It was like, in my mind, it's like, you know, getting to stand before your favorite rock star or whatever, pop star or whatever. You know what I mean? And I've got their phone numbers in my phone. Text me back and forth. You understand that, stuff that means stuff to me, that may mean nothing to you, but then God ain't got it for you. You know, God will bless you with what blesses you, amen? But understand this, the word faithful, I looked it up, this was really interesting, amen? You ready for this? Means trustworthy. Of persons who show themselves faithful in the transactions of business. This is very important because this applies to the church. The execution of commands. Praise the Lord. Do you do what you were asked to do? Praise God. Hallelujah. Or the discharge of official duties. Faithful is somebody who is worthy of trust, that can be relied on. This is really interesting, this part of it. Listen to this. Easily persuaded. Easily persuaded. Sometimes we would think that would be a bad thing, but not when it's attached to the plan of God, it's not. Is the plan of God easily persuaded in your life? Do you know those people that sit there and they fight and rail against the plan of God when the preacher says something, they get mad about it or whatever? It's just like an offering. The most foolish thing in the world to ever get mad about is an offering, and I'll tell you why. Because there ain't nobody that ever comes up to anybody in the seats and says, you didn't give, you have to. Or why didn't you give? I could do that, but I've never done that. If I take up an offering and say we took up an offering for TBN Russia, right? We're trying to raise $1,000, it all came in. I have no idea, other than us, who gave to it. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe, somebody, handed me something. Obviously, I know then. But I don't know why. I didn't look at, I don't look at amounts or stuff like that. I don't have any idea who really gives into these things, these offerings, the unless somebody tells me. And I tell people, I don't want to know. I don't care to know. I go, why? Because I don't want to preach differently because I know something. Or not preach something because I don't, you know what I mean? I want to preach based on what I'm led to preach on. And so my point is that it doesn't matter. But people get mad about stuff like that. It's not like we spend the whole service taking up an offering. You know what I mean? It's not like you just sit here for 2 hours and listen to me give, 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 give. Yeah, it might come up a few times in it, but that's not the bulk of the message. But see, people get offended. That's what they'll listen to. And then that's what they dwell on. And then they get mad about it. And then they have their little sissy fit or hissy fit. Or both, praise the Lord. And then you just, listen. You're not easily persuaded. You're not faithful. And the Bible's called us to be faithful. Praise the Lord. Easily persuaded. Believing, confiding, and trusting. That's what faithfulness is. Well, isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? I love it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Romans 12:3. Jesus, hallelujah. Romans 12:3. I'm just going to read this to you because I just want to get. We've been in this recently, and so I want to lay it for the purpose. For I say through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you, say that's me. Amen. Amen. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Look at your neighbor. Look at your other neighbor. They don't have the same function as you. You don't have the same function as them. We all have different functions. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use those gifts. What are the gifts? We're going to see some of them now. But this is the first step. These are the first steps in finding that plan of God. Where are you gifted? What do you know you can do? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know there's people that know they're gifted in this area and that area, and so they use it. There's some people that wouldn't do anything for the church even if you begged them. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the way it is. Use a gift, but don't be satisfied with just staying there. You know what I mean? Just say the only thing you can do is make good cookies. Praise the Lord. We got lots of people make good cookies, so I don't feel bad using this. Say the only thing you can do is make good cookies. Start with making good cookies. But don't just be content making good cookies for the rest of your life. You know, Lord, what else do you have for me as you're doing this? What else can you have me do? You know, the measure of faith can be built. You know, each has been dealt in measure of faith, but we can increase the measure of faith. The reason that Christians a lot of times don't advance is because they're content with where they're at. And then they expect, you know, they want God to be big, but they just want to be small. They want God to be big, but they just want to do the least that they can do. You know, like cookies is great, but I'm going to tell you right now, cookies helps, but cookies doesn't change lives. It may make somebody want to stay after a few more extra minutes. You know what I mean? And that's good. I'm not downplaying it. But I'm saying there's more to life than cookies. You know what I mean? You know, we can all make cookies, right? So I'm not like just picking on anybody. I hope you understand. And if you bake things for the church, if you make things, don't think that I'm telling you that you're worthless or that your gifting is not good. It's good. Praise the Lord. I've got Cindy buns at home to prove it. Hallelujah. Baking is good. But, you know, whatever it is, we need to seek more, desire more. Did the plan of God stop with a Betty Crocker cookbook? Did it stop with knowing how to throw some chocolate chips and dough together? Is that where the plan of God, is that all it is? No, that's where it might start. But if that's where it starts, then use that as your stepping stone. Amen? But grow more in God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Having then gifts differing to the grace that he's given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. Praise the Lord. In proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality. Some people are blessed to give and never even know it. I know. Listen, if you're rich, I don't know if there's anyone rich in here or not, but if you got a lot of money, you're blessed to give, and you don't even know it unless you're giving. I know of people who are filthy, stinking rich and give less than those who have nothing. Because they haven't got mine. Usually, people who are rich are much in much more financial turmoil, because they it's like they got to hold on to it. Amen. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, just different examples of the giftings of God. And so, you know, I just wanted to share that with you to give you an idea. You know, don't stay where you're at. Turn to Exodus 17 while I'm saying this. Don't stay where you're at. Let God grow you. Don't be okay with just the bare minimum. Don't force it either. Don't think, well, I got to go out and I got to, you know, now I got to learn how to do this or I got to learn how to do that. No, you be willing, obedient, and you allow God to lead you into those things. And guess what he'll do? When we came into the church for the first time, we didn't know we would pastor the church, much less stew. We had no idea. We were completely content doing the things that we were doing. But when I saw a need and I saw that the things of God grew in me and desire grew in me, and we wanted more, my wife as well, we wanted more and more, and sooner, all of a sudden, we were doing everything, anything we possibly could. Between my wife and I, we served in every capacity in the church, and I don't mean for 15 minutes. Well, singing for 15 minutes, but that was, other than that, we served in every capacity for quite some time. Okay, Exodus 17, verse 9, this is important. We needed to get here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." Now, to give you a quick understanding, the rod of God, the fact that they said that was not just something that was placed in there for flavor. The rod of God was what God used through Moses. And remember back when Moses parted the Red Sea, he didn't know what he was doing, and God reminded him, remember that stick that's in your hand? Use it. Why? Because that was one of the giftings that God gave him. Was that stick. Amen. And when he put that stick in the water split and they walked across dry land. Amen. So you understand that this is understanding where he's called, understanding what he has. This is how God used them, the power of God. But now let's look at this. So God, man, I want to spend a year on this. God works through things not just stuff like things, but he works through ideas. He works through certain characteristics in your personality. He works through certain certain abilities that you have. Praise the Lord. He works through those things. You know, some people, they wouldn't like the way I preach, but the way that I preach helps some people. You understand? God uses those things in my life that my mannerisms and different things like that to actually bless some people and to help people and connect people. We were talking to Billy and Sarah. I was talking to them after Sunday, church this Sunday, and they had mentioned about how one of my stories that I was telling and how that was what connected them, amen? Because it reached them somewhere. See, God will use stuff. It's like the rod, you know what I mean? Praise God. Glory to God. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So we see then that the plan of God is working through a natural process. That's interesting, isn't it? That as long as Moses, you just think that they were there and they were faithful to be there, so God was going to work. No, they were working with the tools that God gave them. He was working with the tool, and when he held the tool up, when he did what he was called to do, they prevailed. But as soon as he stopped, why do you think he stopped? How long are you going to hold your hand over your head with a rod in it? You're going to get tired, isn't it? Praise the Lord, and that's exactly what was happening. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so that they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Praise the Lord. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So we see there that Moses was called to do something. He was given the ability of God to do it. But what did he need? He needed someone supporting him. He needed somebody to hold it up to make it happen. Listen, God can't do anything unless people do it. And so unless the church rallies behind what God wants to do, God has placed the gift before you. And we see that. I'm not saying I'm a gift to you, but the office that's on my life is a gift to you. It's a gift to me. It's a gift to my family. Praise the Lord. He's placed that before you. It's just like the rod, the gifting. You know what I'm not talking about me as a person. I'm talking about the gifting, the anointing that's on my life. Praise the Lord. It's the thing. You know, with Elisha, it was a mantle, right? Praise the Lord. It was when they smacked the water with the mantle, the cloth. And when they smacked the water split, right? Yeah. Happened the same way. God uses natural things. But natural things are earthen vessels. They can decay. They're not perfect. They're not strong. They don't last forever. They can't do that. Instead, that's what Epaphroditus was doing, is he was trying to fill in a lack where the Philippians weren't filling in their help. If they had done that, then Epaphroditus wouldn't have had to overwork, and he wouldn't have worked close to death. There are pastors. I'm not going to be one of them, and I'm not one of them. But there are pastors who literally give up or shut down because they can't do it all themselves, because the people aren't staying behind them, aren't carrying them through it. It's sad, but it happens. But we're taught differently, so we know we won't. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we see that the importance of these things. I'm way over time. I just got a few more minutes here. Please believe me. But you understand that the importance of what we're saying here is that people need to be on board. And it can't be a, you know, I've said this before to people, and I'll say it again. The plan of God that God delivers, we have to look at it like it's ours. Yeah. It's ours. Like some people, they will do things. They'll say, well, when I get to where I'm called to be, or when I get to what... No, listen, where you are is what you're called to be. That's yours. It's just as much yours as it is mine. This ministry is as much everybody who's in this church or connects to this church as it is mine. And therefore, if things don't get carried out the way that they're supposed to, I'll just tell you, there are some things that we will go into slower. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to bring this up, but, well, praise the Lord. There'll be some things that we'll go into slower, or some things that we could not get into at all if people simply just don't connect and say, it's important to me. It's important to me. It's important to me enough to put down. Sometimes it'll cause you to put down something and pray. Maybe you'll have to put down TV time at night sometimes to pray. Maybe you'll have to, you know, maybe you'll have to forego that addition on your house so you can make sure that the plan of God is funded. I ain't lying, we do. And everybody in the church should look at the same. Like there, I'm telling you what, there's no offering this church takes up that we don't give into. And so there's no offering in this church that this church takes up that every person in this church shouldn't give something to. And I've said it before, I don't care if it's a penny. Do something to show you're connected. Show God you're connected. Because you will never find the plan of God if you're all about yourself. If you can't even throw a penny, if you can't even throw a dime in the offering. I'm serious. You know, some people do it because they're embarrassed. Because what the truth of the matter is they would rather they go out and spend it. You know, I mean, seriously, my wife budgets me coffee. We're so budgeted, I have budgeted coffee money. There's plenty of times where I walk by and all I have in my wallet is a few dollars, but I'll walk by that kiosk out there and I'll be like, it's plan of God, and I'll put it in because I know that the plan of God is more important than the coffee. Now listen, I don't go without coffee, so don't feel bad for me. You know what I'm saying? But what my point is God always takes care, he always supplies. But see, what I'm saying is that people don't, and I'm not talking about, you know, if people give up, listen, if people take up when we don't know it, there's been no offering taken up for my wife or I that we have ever been aware of, to my knowledge, right? I think I can say that wholeheartedly. I'm not talking about to that. You decide if you want to give into that. That's up to you. The way you connect to that, that's up to you. If somebody takes up an offering for us and wants to bless us, that is beyond us. I would rather it never happen if it would cause people to be offended and leave. If those people would stay and get faithful. You know what I'm saying? I never want to take that. I would never want to do over money. Praise the Lord. But what I'm talking about is the plan of God. What are we called to do? And I'm not just talking about offerings. I'm talking about, is there something I can do to help this go forward? Praise the Lord. Is there something I can do that can increase increase what we're doing, the effectiveness of it? You know, can I go down and talk to people? Praise the Lord. Do you talk to people now in your own town? Do you talk to people, you know, glory to God. What do you, you know, it is not just about, but see, that's another thing. People get so busy that they can't, I can't do that because, you know, I got stuff to do. I got stuff I want to do and stuff. What's the plan of God? You can't once a month, you couldn't drive down to Corey once a month and go meet somebody and say, you know what, there's a great and awesome church in this town. You couldn't do that once a month? What if everybody did that? What if we had 70 people doing that? We have 70, 80 people. What if we had that once a month? Once every 2 months? Is your schedule really that tight? And I'm not saying you got to go down to Corey and do it. But what I'm saying is that's an idea of things that people can do. People say, what can I do? You can do things, praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that built this church was my dear brother and sister, Bob and Chris. When we first came to this town, they didn't shut up to nobody. They're talking about the church all the time. You know what built this church? People like that. Mainly people like that. There's so many people that are connected here because of that desire to do those things. Sincerity. Not just trying to build something up, but sincerely doing it. You know, if you've never done that type of thing, then what would it hurt to do it once a year, once every 6 months? You know what I'm saying? It's like, where can I do this? I got an afternoon. I could go do this or that, you know? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, my brother John here, great example. My brother John, he had slow down at work a little bit. He sent me a message. He said, "Hey, you know, tomorrow I got some slow time at work or whatever. I wanted to offer if you need anything done." I didn't, unfortunately, that day. I wish I did, because when you have somebody offer labor, it's pretty nice to be able to take it up. But he did that. He just, you know, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You know, we got other people too. You know, our sister Carrie back there. I know I mentioned it before, but I just love it. She came to us. She's a wonderful photographer. Praise the Lord. But she just came to us and she said, you know, I would like to take some pictures of the church and stuff. Yes, absolutely, do it. You know, just finding an area. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like finding something you can do to make it better, to promote it, to you know, even like Denny and Becky. Praise the Lord, just in their business, they have the business there. Every time I go in there, they have our little stand with the cards in it. Just something small like that, advertising the church. Just something small like that. Why? Is it about getting... No, it's about getting people helped. Yeah. You know what I mean? The website reaches people. The people see that it's excellent. They see the building's excellent. All these things, you know, these things, you know, and I know we have cleanup crews in the springtime, you know. We don't have a huge property, but people come together and they'll clean up way over. Glory to God. But you understand what I'm saying. I want to close with these scriptures because this is where it really closes. Matthew 11:25. Just go ahead and look up here for time. We know these scriptures, so I'll read through them, but they are tied to all of this. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. People prudent are those that are self-intelligent, people who know, I know it all. Well, it's hidden to them, but it's open to those who are tender-hearted like a baby, amen? Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So God will reveal the Father to those who the Son. Who do you think the Son wills to? Those who desire the plan. Praise the Lord. Now look at the scriptures that are connected to this because it keeps going. He's going to reveal it to those who are connected to what God is doing. Because what's important to Jesus, if it's important to us, then he wants, you understand? We're making the connection. Now look at these scriptures in context and see if you don't see them in a different light. Continuing on, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The plan of God is light and easy. And if it's not light and easy, it's not the plan of God. And so if we're fighting against it, we're not working with him. He will reveal the Father to us. He will reveal the peace to us. We will walk it out as we're faithful to connect to his plan. So we say less to us, more to him, and you watch how you get blessed even in the midst of it. Amen? Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. I hope you're helped tonight. I believe you were. Glory to God. God is doing great things. Amen? I believe it. I know it. I don't just believe it because it's like something I think. I believe it because I know it. Amen? Glory to God. So God is doing great things.